It is important that you know what you believe, what you have faith in. And so each week in worship at Daleville Christian Church, we use an affirmation of faith from God's Word. This one today from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Scripture reading for today is from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia, commonly referred to as Galatians chapter 5, the first 8 verses. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of this holy word. A happy and blessed July 4th. Have a blessed July 4th. This is my 31st July 4th celebration with you, and I always want my sermons to be original because I believe our Lord wants that from me. So what am I going to say today? Come to find out, in preparing for the message today, I stumbled right into a controversy, a history controversy that I didn't know existed. Now, I know that Americans can't agree on the Founding Fathers. We don't all agree about what the Founding Fathers intended with regard to church and state. And as the sermon notes point out, Christians are a little unclear about how they feel about government, any government, not just the United States government. Americans can't agree on how the Founding Fathers were religious or whether they were religious. Were they Christians? Did they believe in Jesus? Or does it even matter what they believed if the whole point is that you and I have the freedom to believe, to talk, to meet, and to publish in Jesus' name? So what was the controversy I stumbled on? Well, in the last presidential election, candidate Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, made the following claim: that of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, Mike Huckabee claimed that most of them were Christian clergy. He didn't just claim that they were all Christian, he claimed that most of the signers were clergymen. Now, as a bit of an historian myself and as a pastor, how could I have never, ever heard that statement, especially if it's true? Well, I'm not here to argue about it. I do know that the general consensus was that only one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence was an ordained minister. His name was Reverend John Witherspoon. He was a representative from New Jersey. He was the 6th president of the college that would eventually become Princeton University. Princeton University, by the way, is the site of a battle of the American Revolution, and you can still see some British cannonballs stuck in one of the oldest buildings on campus. And I'm part of an organization fighting right now to preserve the battlefield at Princeton, because there's a Princeton University organization that wants to build a building in the middle of the battlefield, and I'm against that. But back to the controversy. As an historian, to make a claim like Mike Huckabee made about history, you usually have to have some facts to back you up. Again, I'm not going to argue about this, but it did lead me to the subject of what clergy or what Christians thought of the American Revolution during the time we were fighting the American Revolution. Standing from 250 years later, I know why a Christian might have fought for independence, but what did those people, those citizens, those soldiers think they were doing? How did they read our Bible? From this pulpit, I have mentioned any number of facts about faith and the Founding Fathers. The Constitutional Convention that formed this country's government met first by being led in prayer. The House of Burgesses in the Virginia colony, the House of Burgesses being the governing body of the colony of Virginia, the House of Burgesses in the Virginia colony where Patrick Henry was a member, along with fellow Virginians who were also members of the House of Burgesses, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and Peyton Randolph. Peyton Randolph, who later was the first president of the Continental Congress. That House of Burgesses employed its own chaplain, and prayers and worship services were held regularly in that public government building, which has been rebuilt and you can visit today at Colonial Williamsburg, the largest living history museum in this country. So how did the Christian faith of these people lead them to a declaration of independence, a declaration that they would support and fight for, an independence that they would eventually win after 5 to 7 years of war? And I say 5 to 7 years because the Battle of Yorktown, which was an American victory and decided the issue of the war, decided American independence on the battlefield, was fought in 1781, but the treaty was not signed until 1783. So 5 years of war. The treaty was signed 2 years later, 7 years. Well, here is what some pastors during the American Revolution said, and they had their sermons published so that people other than their congregations could read and digest their understanding of God's Word. Many Revolutionary War clergy argued that the war against Britain was approved by God. In one sermon, Abraham Cataltus celebrated the American effort as the cause of truth against error and falsehood, the cause of pure and undefiled religion against bigotry, superstition, and human invention. That sermon was entitled God Arising and Pleading His People's Cause, or the American War Shown to Be the Righteous Cause of God. Reverend Cataltus served congregations in New York and New Jersey. Reverend Jonathan Mayhew of Boston was an eloquent proponent of the idea that civil and religious liberty was ordained by God. Reverend Jonathan Mayhew considered the Church of England as a dangerous, almost diabolical enemy of true faith. He stated that resistance to a tyrant, like King George of England, was a glorious Christian duty. I wonder if you knew the true story of Reverend Peter Muhlenberg, who practiced what he preached. In January 1776, a full 6 months before the Declaration of Independence, but remember, in 1775, American and British soldiers had already fought at Lexington and Concord and Boston. But in 1776, in January of that year, at the end of one of his sermons to his congregation in Woodstock, Virginia, Pastor Peter Muhlenberg threw off his clerical robes to reveal the uniform of a Virginia militia officer. Pastor Muhlenberg served with distinction throughout the war, and Muhlenberg commanded a brigade at the victorious Battle of Yorktown, Virginia, winning the war and independence. Some pastors during the American Revolutionary War served as chaplains. Reverend James Caldwell was such a minister. At the Battle of Springfield, New Jersey, on June 23, 1780, when the men of his company ran out of wadding, which was necessary to load their muskets, Reverend Caldwell was said to have dashed into a nearby Presbyterian church, scooped up as many hymnals as he could carry, and distributed them to the troops to use to load their weapons. Reverend Caldwell and his wife would not survive the war. They were both killed before the war ended. Both died as casualties of the American Revolutionary War. How did these pastors read your Bible? And for the rest of today's message, I'm sharing a book review by Robert Tracy McKenzie, which was published 3 years ago today, July 3rd. The web link for the article is in your sermon notes. There were several passages that inspired these men and women, but particularly it was the story of the Exodus that they saw themselves. From the Old Testament, ministers drew inspiration, especially from the story of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. The faithful and inspired America colonists saw the Israelites' enslavement in Egypt resembled their own bondage to British tyranny. Even in the contest between David and Goliath, they saw their righteous struggle with a powerful but arrogant British empire. To the patriotic ministers who declared them from the pulpit, the lessons embedded in these stories were indisputable. God championed the cause of independence. A warrior who liberated his people by means of war. This is the warrior God image whose right hand is the sword hand, the hand and arm of power. The Lord clearly sanctioned violence in the pursuit of freedom, they argued. Furthermore, God would intervene on their behalf, on behalf of the colonists, and with God on their side, the ill-trained and poorly equipped patriots would be victorious. This meant that loyalty to Britain was rebellion against God himself. Although they were well aware of the Old Testament passages that call for conflict, these pastors found less in the New Testament, but they believed the message of freedom was the most important message of the New Testament. The pastors did see the scriptures mentioned in the sermon notes published for you today that call for obedience to government. They were aware of those verses. But Reverend Jonathan Mayhew, whom I mentioned a bit ago, noted in Romans 13 that the Apostle Paul had referred to the ruler in government as God's minister to you for good. Mayhew had concluded from this portion of this verse that the purpose of civil government was to support the good of civil society. And if a ruler of the government were not doing that, Paul's instructions to submit to the governing authorities simply did not apply. They simply could not believe that King George was a minister for their good, nor that King George was upholding the good of civil society in the Americas. Ministers reassured their flocks furthermore by repeatedly citing one of the few unambiguous endorsements of liberty in the New Testament. The reading for today from Galatians. "Stand fast," Paul had counseled the churches of Galatia, "in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." It's a great verse, isn't it? The whole verse says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. stand fast. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast. Say it with me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast. The liberty that the Apostle Paul had in mind was civil as well as religious. That is how these pastors understood it and insisted it. As Presbyterian minister Nathaniel Whitaker instructed his congregation, this meant that the refusal to stand fast with the patriot cause was nothing less than a sin against the express command of God. And here we begin to see the outline of the words of the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are liberty. Those are the words of the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. They belong to us. They cannot be taken from us. And among those are liberty. So, my friends, you must ask yourselves, do you believe that you are God-born for freedom? Are you God-born for freedom? Is freedom God's intention for you? And how far are you willing to go for that freedom that you believe our Heavenly Father wants you to have? The men and women of the American Revolution gave their fortunes, they gave their property, and they often gave their lives for the freedom we celebrate today, a declaration of our independence. Amen.